right. Thank you, Brother Cruz. That's a good thought right there. Now, if we could see the world as Christ did, hey, God sent his son to die for us. Amen. He loved the world. Boy, we could just get a hold of that and get that in our hearts. Well, the preacher's gone today, and we're going to ask Brother Parsons if he'll come up here. Amen. He's going to preach for us this morning. He's going to come up here and do something for us, brother. Just touch our hearts. Amen.
Amen.
Amen, brother. Thank you, brother.
Thank you, brother.
Amen. It's my pleasure. Amen. You take your Bibles, if you would, and go to Genesis chapter number 22 with me. Genesis chapter 22. I worked maintenance when I was here in Bible college. What a blessing. And this morning I was given this, I'm talking deep into it, this here wired mic up. And if you see, I had happened to have a post-it note in my Bible. The door kept flipping open on it, and my batteries, I was afraid, going to fly out while I was preaching. And I didn't have any duct tape on me, but I found a post-it note. Amen. And I got her fixed up. I think we'll patched up and make it through the morning service. Amen. It's been a blessing to be in here with you today. I do not usually get to be. I'm usually in some other place and doing something else. But I've had a lot of things my preacher has asked me to do. I love my preacher, by the way. Let me say that to start with. But this is my favorite thing that he asked me to do. Amen. Of all the things that I get to do is to preach God's word. If you would turn to Genesis chapter 22, and if you would kind of stick something, if you're like me, take something out of your filing cabinet and stick it there in Genesis 22. And we're going to start there, but then we're going to turn over to James chapter 1. We're going to turn over to James chapter 1, and let me say, I do love my preacher. We've had a good week. Our college went up this week and went up to Georgia. Spent some time with another one of our graduates, Brother Chad Stanley, and he just took care of us and blessed us, and we had preaching, and our preacher was in rare form as he preached up there, and I mean, he got up at the beginning of one of his messages, and he said, listen, I'm 80 years old, and I'm fixing to tell you what the Bible says. You might lose sleep over it, but I won't. Amen. And he just said, I'm going to tell you how it is. Amen. So he just cleared off a spot and preached. Amen. And he was in rare form. What a blessing to have a preacher of the Word of God. Amen. Our pastor, Brother Carter, and I just love my pastor. And I want to preach a message, if I could, this morning, tempted to do right. Tempted to do right. Let's pray together before we get started. Dear Jesus, I thank you for your many blessings. Dear Lord, dear Holy Spirit of God, I pray you'd fill me up just to the end to pour me out here in this message, dear God. I pray you'd fill me up with your Spirit only to pour me out upon your Word, and let me be your messenger boy today. I pray, dear God, that you'd be with my preacher, that you'd strengthen him wherever he is preaching today, that you'd give him power of his youth, that you'd give him power, dear God, of his might and strength of mind, that he might be able to stand and preach the Word of God. Thank you so much for what he means to me and what he means to this church. I beg you today, dear God, let me do what he's asked me to do, to just preach the wonderful gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. I pray that if there be one that's here that's lost, that they would not leave not knowing that Jesus died on the cross to save them, that they would accept that payment that he made on the cross for their sin. I pray, dear God, above all else, dear God, that you'd move me, myself, out of the way, my pride, my who I am, and just let me, you speak through me. Use me today, dear God, in this place and in this time. In Jesus' name, amen. In Genesis chapter number 22, we'll read the first verse and we'll come back here. Genesis 22 and verse number 1, and it says, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here am I. I want you to take and look at a personal note in the verse. It said, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. Let me say this, that I know we're going to turn over to James, and I've had others say that God does not tempt men, and I believe that that is correct. God does not tempt men to do evil. We'll look at that scripture. If you will, go ahead and turn over to James, and I'll catch up with you. But I want to say this, God does try his people. It says, after this, after these things, or after this time in Abraham's life, Abraham has seen some things done. God has asked him to leave a place and not be there in his home where he was born and where he was raised, and to go on for God, and he stepped out. He did what God had asked him to do, and he had seen some victories. He had seen some low times, and he had seen some high times, but God had fulfilled a promise. See, all this time, God had promised him that everything that the sole of his foot touched, that he'd give it to him, that he'd give it to his seed, that he'd give it to his people, that someday day down the road. But Abraham couldn't see that thing, man. He even tried to do it for God and through Ishmael. And God, I mean, he tried to do some things, but listen, now all God, he can see what God is doing in his life, because now Isaac has showed up, the love of his life, that son that God had promised a long way off, that now Isaac had showed up on the scene. I'm speaking to some Bible believers. If you understand what I'm saying, say amen this morning. All right, so you're with me. Keep up with me now this morning. And I want you to understand, he had come to this place, and now God decides to see if Abraham is still on board. God decides to see if he can still trust him to finish this thing out. He says, all right, listen, this is a high spot in his life. Man, everything, he can see everything. You know, you've been that place in your Christian life where now, I mean, you stepped out, you've been, I mean, everything that you thought God was going to do with you, now you feel like, man, I can see how God's going to do it in my life right now. And then the floor falls out. Then the bottom falls out. Or God says, if you love me, hang on. Listen, that's where Abraham's at. Abraham is, I mean, he's reached that mountaintop, and he thinks it's nothing, it's going to be downhill from here. I don't know if anything in the Christian life is downhill. I don't believe I've ever been any place where I've coasted. We went to this camp called Mount Salem in West Virginia, and it's all uphill, friend. Every day, I mean, when you climb the hill to the dorm rooms, you're walking uphill, and then all of a sudden you hit a plateau because they know you're about to die anyway, you know? And then you're like, oh, yes, thank you. And then, I'm climbing again. Amen. So God does have some plateaus for us. Amen. But I think it's all uphill. It's going to be downhill when he comes back. Man, he says in the book of Hebrews, he's got a better rest prepared for the saints of God. I'm looking forward to that day. Amen. Amen. But for, down here, you better look out. There's more stairs coming, friend. Amen. Look at James with me. So God has said he's going to tempt, he's tempting Abraham. And he's not tempting Abraham to do evil, but look at it with me in James chapter 1. Look at verse 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. So here I want to try to make a point. I want you to understand, and I know that there's those, but here this word tempt is more, look at the 1828 dictionary is defined this way, the word tempted, enticed to do evil, but then it breaks, and another definition is provoked. So God is provoking him to do right. Then it says to be tried. Now, if you can't see clearly through the scripture that some men of God that did right, they were being punished, but they were being tried or provoked to go on for God. God wanted to see, listen, if you can't see that in the life of Job, God help you, friend. Job is out there offering, not for himself, but an offering for his children, just in case they sinned. And man, he gets some terrible news. Listen, if you can't see that in the life of Daniel, doing right, even when others, it's against the law to do right. If we wait a little while in our country, it isn't going to be long. It's going to be against the law to do right. I don't know if you know that, but there's some things right now. It's against the law to do right. And Daniel, he went on for God. He just did right anyway. Listen, there's going to be times of trial. There's going to be times of testings. There's going to be things. Listen, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would not bow the knee. I would to God that we could get some Christians that had some backbone like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I mean, when the state, man, they worked for the state, bless God. And when the state said they were doing wrong, it's time to stand up and bow up and say, no, listen, oh, King, I serve a higher power. Oh, King, listen, you can do what you want. You know, live forever, oh, King. But listen, you can live forever, but I'm going to live forever with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. I'm listening to him before I listen to you. And listen, this morning, I want you to understand this and understand that Abraham is about to go through a time of trial, a time that God wants him. And you've heard this story before. You've been in this passage of Scripture. I don't believe it's new, but I want you to understand and take it from this mindset, tempted to do right. God, everything God does in our life, every time, listen, I remember the day that I showed up and walked in out and I sat there and I needed to be saved. I mean, I needed to accept Christ and what his payment on Calvary for me. And I sat in a place, I had grown up in church. I knew the gospel, I knew what was going on, but I was hesitant to step out and walk the aisle because I was afraid of what others were going to think. I was afraid of what others would say because I knew that they thought I was saved. Listen, God help us. I remember a day that I walked that aisle, and I remember the day that I've had others that were in Bible college with me walk the aisle, and our preacher took their hand and said, I don't know what heaven would have been like without you. No one's going to, listen, here, friend, if you're here and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, listen, the Bible, listen, just as great as there's a great contrast of all kinds of things in the Bible, the greatest contrast is that there's a heaven and there's a hell to shun. The greatest contrast is there's a devil and there's a Jesus. And that same Jesus, as in a form or a picture that we'll find in our scripture this morning, he came from heaven and died on a cruel, rugged cross to pay for your sin and my sin and make a way so that we could go to heaven. And listen, the greatest day in your life will be the day that you accept that as your own. That you come to a place in your life that you say, Jesus, I want you more than anything else. Not heaven. I preached this week in high school. I preached over at Brother Rusty's. Listen, I want to tell you, church, can I tell you something? Your reward is not a mansion. If you're looking forward to a mansion in heaven, listen, I get to live in one. You understand what I'm saying? When I get to heaven, I'm going to walk on street of gold. I'm going to walk down to the place that he's laid out for me so that I can go up and show up and be in that mansion. I'm looking forward to the eats in heaven. We're going to have some eats down at the college, and they're going to be good, but nothing like when I get home to be with the Lord. But I'm here to tell you, when I show up, the greatest reward, my reward. You know that the Bible says we can earn crowns? But what are we going to do with them? I'm going to lay him at his feet. The greatest, listen, the reward of the Christian is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is my reward. He is my beloved. He is the one that I'm looking forward to. I've got grandparents in heaven. I've got great-grandparents that I got pictures of them holding me. They served God with their life, and they held me, and boy, they prayed over me. I've got grandparents that prayed for me that have gone ahead. But listen, I'm here to tell you, there's coming a day when I hit heaven, I want to see mama and papa. I want to see them. I want to see friends that have gone on before me. But I want to see Jesus most of all. Abraham was tempted. Listen, the reason God tempts us with some things in this life is because, he wants to know. You know, my wife, she hates it when I preach about her. Amen. I'm not preaching her faults this morning. Amen. I'm just going to say, listen, you know, she didn't want to tell me. You know, it's better if I can figure out. You know, because I'm clueless. Amen. You know how it is. Guys, we are all clueless. And they try to drop subtle hints about things they really want. And I said to her one day, I was like, could you just tell me? I said, because just put a billboard up in the house of exactly, you know, write a list and I'll get it done. Amen. But she wants to know that you love her, that you're listening to her. God is no different. God loves us, and God wants us. Not subtle hints, but he's trying Abraham here because he wants to know if Abraham's going to take another step for him. He said, listen, I gave you something. Listen, what a great thing that God did, that miracle child of Isaac. But God didn't want Isaac. He wanted Abraham. God doesn't want your Isaac. Sometimes he'll give us something, man. Maybe it's a house. Maybe it's a car. Maybe it's something that God has given you in your life. Something you've been praying for. Some kind of place. Listen, something. Some child that God gave you in your life. God was blessing you and fulfilling something in your life. But he doesn't want that. He wants you. God doesn't want more of your Isaacs. He wants more of you. God in all this was just to see if Abraham loved Isaac more than he loved God. And I want you to see it this morning. Look at it with me, and we'll run through this, and we'll get some ideas here, maybe from the scripture. Maybe we'll be blessed, amen, this morning. Abraham, and it says in verse 22, we're back in Genesis 22:1, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here am I. I love that answer. Verse number 2, and he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and after him there for a burnt offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto a place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and took the fire in his hand and a knife. And they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? One of the greatest scriptures of all the Bible, when Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together, and they came to the place which God had told them of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do anything unto him. For I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Now we understand, if we go on, we'll see that there was a ram caught in a thicket, and God gets his offering right there, and Abraham's able to do that. But I want to point some things out in Abraham's life. I want you to see some things that go off. And first of all, I want you to see this. If it's in your habit of writing notes, you college students, for you, number one, I want you to see this. He was ready and waiting on God. Abraham was ready and waiting on God. Listen, number one, this morning, I hope this morning when you came to church, every time that we come and show up in an assembly, we ought to be ready and waiting for what God has for us. Man, we ought not walk into church. I was in an independent fundamental church, grew up with my parents. You know how it is. I drove up in the parking lot and we were out there going, screaming at each other. Hey, how is everybody doing this morning? Hey, it's all good, everything. Amen. But man, we ought to be right. Man, we ought to be ready and waiting. And I know that that happens, but boy, we ought to be in preparation for when the Word of God is preached. We ought to be in preparation. Listen, Abraham, I believe, was ready and waiting. That word waiting that I'm using here is not a word that I would say he was sitting down on his fist and leaning back on his thumbs, and that might be an old-timey way of saying it, but waiting here is more of a waiting of waiting on people. I believe, if you understand Abraham was not a poor man. He had all kinds of things to take care of, all kinds of animals. He had all kinds of servants in his house. I believe he was a busy man. I think he was seeing over the things. Listen, anything whatsoever you put your hand to do, the word says, amen, I should do it all unto the Lord, amen. And I believe Abraham was working and taking care of business for the Lord, not for just himself, but trying to take care of what God had given him, not only with his animals, but also with his family. And here all of a sudden, I hear him saying, the Lord says, hey, Abraham, he says, behold, here am I. Are you ready for that? Are you ready and waiting on the Lord? Taking care of all the busyness of the day. But when God speaks to you in your heart, are you ready to listen? Well, we ought to be that way. We ought to be at a place in our life when God calls out to us because he's got something for us. Amen. Isn't that good that we can live and work and breathe and be after some things that God's already set us to do? But when God calls out, I got something else for you. Yes, sir? I'm here to tell you, listen, I live, and this might be a bad analogy, but I love my preacher. It doesn't matter what I'm doing. It doesn't matter who I'm talking to. It doesn't matter what's going on during the day. If you call me, I hate to say this, if you're one of those people and you know I can't get Brother Parsons on the phone, I'm busy, okay? I just am. I get busy. But when my preacher calls, if I'm talking to you, I'm going to say, hold on a minute. The preacher's calling. Amen? Listen, it ought to be in our life. It doesn't matter whatever's going on in our life. I'm not doing that because I'm worried about losing my job. I do that because I love my preacher. Listen, when God calls, it don't matter who's speaking. It's time to go, hold up, God's calling. Hold up right now. I'm getting a message from the Lord. Amen. Listen, you know what I found? You know, for a preacher to call me, I've got to charge my phone up and carry it with me every day. I got to carry it with me. I got to get it charged up. Do you know what you got to do to make sure that you're ready and waiting on God? You better be charged up, friend. You know, the way he calls today, he's not audibly going to say, hey, you over there, hey, Abraham. He calls through his word. You know how you get charged up today? Through his word. How are you going to hear God's call if you're not in his word? How are you going to hear? How are you going to get direction from the Lord? Listen, number one, we got to be ready and waiting. That requires a relationship. You've got to be born again to know for sure that you're on your way to heaven. Number two, you not only need a relationship, but number two, you need a readiness to answer when he calls. That means your heart has to be at a place where when God calls out to you, that you have a softness to him. Hey, auditorium this morning, young people, church, was there ever a time that God had more of your heart than he does today? Was there ever a time in your life where you were soft to the calling of God, and today, maybe through strife or bitterness or through problems of this world, that your heart has gotten to the point where let somebody else do that? The hardest thing in the world for me to tell anybody is no. It just is. You can ask my wife. The two letters that I have never thrown out of my vocabulary is no, and I hate to do it. I hate to tell people no, and I know that I got to learn to do that. I know that that's going to come. But listen, do you know what? I don't want to be a yes man. I want to be a man. Listen, I want to be a servant of the Lord God. Amen. And when he calls, listen, there are people in this life, listen, that used to be soft to the calling of the Lord. And most of the time it's because we've gotten out of his word. It's because we're not in church like we ought to, or we don't come ready to listen to the word of God and hear what God has for us. Boy, I would to God that we all be ready and waiting. Listen, ready and waiting, preparing for the Lord God, that's what he's talking about. We're ready and awaiting the return of Christ. Are you really ready and waiting? Ready because you're saved is not all of it, friend. Reading is waiting for his call, waiting him to direct you in somewhere else. Listen, do you know that our church still has buses? Amen. Do you know that our church has still got Sunday school? Amen. Our church has still got Sunday night. Our church still has Wednesday night. We still got plenty of places for God to direct you to serve. I got in here last night and I fell on my face before God and laid my hands on this thing, and I begged God to be in our choir this morning. I wanted him to use them. Listen, do you realize that's a ministry of our church? God is wanting his people to serve him. God is wanting his people not to just be ready and waiting, but ready and waiting on him. Amen. Listen, there's nothing worse than going to a restaurant and somebody not waiting on you, being busy and running all around you, but you can't get anything to drink. I'm thirsting to death and I'm in a restaurant. There's nothing worse in a restaurant than ordering and wondering, are they going to come back? Amen. Listen, what do you think it is to God when he saves us? He said, I wonder if they're going to come back. I wonder, man, I'm thirsting to death to use them to do something for me. I wonder if they'll come back around. God help us. That's where we are in our life. Listen, I want to see this. Listen, he's Abraham. I see his relationship and his readiness to serve. And then I see he gets a revelation. God says, and he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon the mountains which I will tell thee of. I told you before, I believe we get our revelation from the word of God today. I don't believe you're going to hear an audible voice. I believe you're going to hear the man of God get up and preach a message. You're going to say, God spoke to my heart, and this is what he wants me to get into. I read the word of God this morning. God broke my heart, and this is what I believe I need to get to doing. Listen, I beg you this morning, listen, do you know we're only going to get revelation of God if we seek it? Listen, I believe we got to want it. I believe we got to be ready and waiting. Look at it, number two with me. I believe that not only do we need to be ready and waiting, but we need to be ready and working. And I know that, you know, you're like, Brother Parsons, this has got a lot of work in it. Amen. You know the work of the Lord? There's a reason we call it the work of the Lord. Starts out with work. Amen. I know the day and age we live in. I was a youth pastor. Amen. Before I came, you know what youth do? When they're looking at what kind of jobs they want to take, they're looking at the job that has the least labor for the most pay. You know it's true. That's how they are. That's how the young people are today. We live in that realm. And I'm not trying to say anything bad about your teenagers, but that's typical. You know what? You know what will make you the most money today? Let me counsel you teenagers. This is for free, okay? No money, no counsel. Okay, here, this is for free this morning. Do you know that what we have a lack of in our country is service trades? If you're willing to climb into an attic that nobody else is willing to climb into, you can make money. Do you know if you're willing to work on plumbing that nobody else is willing to touch, you can make some money in this life? And I'm just here to tell you, listen, you say, well, why? I don't know, you know. Well, I'm just telling you, kids go to college all over our country. They go to all kinds of colleges, and they take what they think, what the world tells them is the best industries in all the world, and then they can't get a job doing it because everybody else went to school for that.
Yeah.
So they go work at KFC.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with KFC. I felt something right there, amen. 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 Nothing wrong with it. Bless God, somebody's got to work there because I need some chicken. Amen. Amen. But ready and working. See, I see that in the life of Abraham. Look at it with me. It says, and then on the third day, well, look at it with me. Let's go back to verse 3. And Abraham rose up early in the morning. Amen. That would do us all some good too, wouldn't it? Abraham rose up early in the morning, and it says he saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went into a place of which God had told him. Now listen, if we're going to do what God wants to do, we need to be ready and waiting. That means we need to be soft to his call. We need to be ready, not just laying up, but really ready to wait on God and then ready to work. I see that he made preparations here. He got up early in the morning and started his day off early because he had a purpose. God had sent him on a purpose, and he decided he was going to get after it. Then he got up, and I see that he not only was prepared, he prepared for this. You know, back home, we got a bunch of horses. I don't know, 20-some horses that we have on our church property. And we have a horse camp. And every morning in the summer, when I went back home, what my job was, before I got to start anything else during the day, I went down there, got them horses. And you know, how everybody has a different call. You call your hogs, you call your cows, whatever you call. You know, we had horses, and we go, come on, boys. And they're not all boys, but we called them boys. And we'd say, hey, boys, come on. Hey, boys, hey, boys, hey, boys, like that. And we'd call them, man, the horses, man. They hear, you know, after a while, they just heard my truck pulling down there. And I mean, they're coming across the field. You better be out of the way, amen, because they're coming through. It's time to get fed. And they get in their stall and in their box, and they get eating, and they get a little rank for a little while, and they'd be stomping and kicking each other and everything. You know, they'd be rushing each other out of the stall. Listen, then we'd feed them up. But listen, you know, just going, it says he saddled his ass. You know, that didn't just happen. That took some work and preparation. That means he had to go get the thing, wherever it was. And saddling's not the easiest thing. I don't know if you've ever had a rank animal. And this animal that we're speaking of is not as good as some horses, okay? But we had mostly horses, had a few mules. But you know, a mule, they're ornery in rank. They don't like to have a saddle put on them. They just don't. And they're smarter than a horse. A horse will get in the trend. A mule, it's hard to break that thing, anything like that. And you'd be tightening that. You know, they know they're calm in the sense of, all right, throwing the blanket on. We've been broke. We know this is coming. And you throw the saddle on. You get it on. You start putting, and you even put the tie on. But then they know, because you don't really tighten it up right until you're ready to go. You don't want the horse being all, you know how it is. It's like a necktie, man. You know, we don't like to be saddled. Man, they've tightened this thing up. Oh. You know how it is. You want to loosen it up as often as you can. And so here it is. And I mean, you know, they know. So then I get ready because we had this one mule. And so you had to be like a ninja, like Brother Scotty. Brother Scotty, you come to the church. Brother Scotty had a dog attack him. And I mean, he was like, oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, that dog come after him. And it was one of our college students that bit his tie. He was like doing this with that tie. Brother Scotty's like, oh, yeah, 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 like that. So I'm there with that mule. And I get ready to yank on that tie. And you know, you're tightening it up so you can climb on, that saddle be tight. And at the same time, that horse would bite, or that mule would bite at you and try to take a piece out of you. And if you weren't watching, if you weren't ninja-like like me, amen, yeah. You know, you'd have to dodge or go, hi-yah, like that, and give it to the horse. You say, that's animal cruelty. He was fixing to bite me, amen, amen. That ain't animal cruelty. That's just self-defense, amen, amen. Amen. And then you got to watch them. You know what they'll do? And I know I'm getting off, but I'm enjoying it. He said, they'll step on your foot. They know where your feet are, friend. They'll be like, and lean all 1,200 pounds on it. You'll be like, oh, holy night. You know what I mean? I mean, that's exactly what happens. And listen, I mean, so Abraham, he is ready and waiting. but he's also ready and working. He takes and saddles this thing up, gets it over there. He said, you guys, you're going with me. You're going to help us tote this stuff. And then he's like, I got this. He needed wood for the burnt offering. It says that he clave the wood. That doesn't mean that he went out there and did some wood sculpting. It means he went and got an axe and he chopped the wood up. Amen. I'm from the north. Amen. I know what it's like. I love to burn wood in the fireplace so I don't freeze to death. Amen. He was doing it for a different reason, but I mean, he had to prepare some things. And listen, in your life, friend, in your Christian life, don't think that just because you're saved and everything seems smooth that God's not going to, once you're ready and waiting, you're going to be ready and working. God's going to give you something to do. He went and saddled that ass and got it ready. He went and chopped some wood and loaded it on its back, got everything strapped down. They were ready to go. And then he says he took his son. And they went on. Look at it with me. He says he prepared. He split the wood. He saddled it. He packed up and he went to do what God called him to do. And then look at it with me. Look at the verse. In verse number 4, he says, and then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and he saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, you abide here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. He pushed on a little farther. You know that you'll arrive just short. Every time I've been through this in my life, you'll come towards the place in your life, in the Christian life, you'll step out to do what God wants you to do. When you get to the foot of that mountain, that last, you're weary by the time you got there. This isn't just the morning that he woke up. This is the third day that they've been traveling. And listen, the hardest part is going to have that you're going to have the courage and determination to climb the mountain on the third day, to finish what God called you to do, to finish well, if you will, in this life. Listen, I know I look out across this, and you might not see it, but I got some gray too. I look out and see some gray hair. You know, I'm just hoping it all stays gray and it doesn't turn loose. Amen. Amen. But you know, I look out across this crowd and I see, you know, the hardest time to continue on and to finish well is when it hurts to go on. To get up in, Abraham's not a spring chicken. Abraham's had a son way past his prime. Even though Abraham lived a long life, listen, I guarantee you, once he got there on that third day, he was ready to sit down and take a rest. But God had asked him to do something. And he went on and he climbed that hill and he went up there. Listen, this isn't just any hill. And I'm taking a little bit of time here, but I hope you understand this is Mount Moriah. Yeah. This place, according to Jewish tradition, if you didn't know this, this is the place that he's getting ready to build an altar and sacrifice Isaac. This place is the place where God's going to stay his hand against the judgment on David, and David's going to buy this place. And then God says, no, you're not building my temple, but your son's going to build my temple. And this same exact spot, according to Jewish tradition, is the place where God's temple would be built by Solomon, in this very exact spot. Going backwards, it is Jewish tradition that this exact spot that Abraham sacrifices Isaac or is going to is the same exact spot that Noah built an ark. Or Noah built an ark. After he got off the ark, he built an altar to sacrifice unto God. That's Jewish tradition. You say, how can that be? I'm just telling you what Jewish tradition is. According to Jewish tradition, this is the same place that two brothers, Cain and Abel, showed up to make an offering in the early part of Genesis. Listen, this is a hallowed spot that God has directed them to. You see, when God asks you to go a little bit farther and to push on, there's something special about that place you're trying to get to. There's something consecrated about that place that God wants you to make it to. Look with me, if you would. Look, he says, they pushed on, but now he's not just ready and waiting. He's been ready and working, and now by the time he reaches these verses, look with me. His son is seeing what's going on, and we find, is he going to be ready and willing to go on and finish this thing? And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac, his son, and he took the fire in his hand, verse number 6, and a knife, and they both looked both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? I don't know if at this time that he discovers or reveals to Isaac what's about to happen. There's some discrepancy of how old Isaac is at this time, but it's clear that he is an adult man. He's somewhere between that age of 17 and 25. Very capable of resisting completely his father and what his father has chosen to do that God had asked him to do. But he lays the wood on Isaac. And I don't know if he reveals it, but obviously Isaac wants to know what's going on. We can't do what God's called us to do without a sacrifice. And how in the world do you turn around and tell your child, you're the sacrifice? It breaks my heart, but listen, God had to do that. God had to turn to his son and say, you're the sacrifice. And Jesus walked on. And Isaac said, all right, if that's what God said. Isaac knew his history. Isaac knew that he was a miracle child, that way past the age. And both of these men believing in an almighty God, whether he raised him up or whether the sacrifice wouldn't hurt him or whether he would raise him up from the dead, whatever it is that they believed, they knew God knew best. And they both went on to the top of the hill. Look on with the scripture with me if you would. Verse number 8, and Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. I've heard my pastor preach this scripture before, and I believe that Abraham was saying to him, listen, I believe Abraham knew that Isaac was not going to be the sacrifice in his heart of hearts. God has asked me to do some things. I've had a time where I told my wife, I don't believe that's how it's going to be. I just know in my heart that God has revealed. I don't know where we're going to be. I don't know what it's going to be, but I know that God is not going to do that to us. And she, you know, and then after I walk away, I've heard my preacher say this. I walked away and go, God, I just put us on the spot. Amen. You got to come through for me now, because I really believe that. And I believe Abraham with all his heart turned to his son and said, son, don't worry about it. God will provide himself for a lamb. Prophetically speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, but knowing in his heart, listen, I believe Abraham knew that whatever God was doing, God was sovereign. And that whatever he wanted to do, he was looking forward and knew that one day the real sacrifice was going to be the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary. So they both go on in verse number 9, and they came to a place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, there's a comma, Abraham. And he said, here am I. Look, I want you to see this. You better be ready and willing when you land on the top of the hill. It's not over yet, friend. When you make the climb and you push on, Abraham showed up on the plateau of that place. And not only was he prepared to sacrifice his son, he had not just been waiting on the Lord. He had not been working for the Lord. Now he's willing. He gets there and he builds the altar upon which he's going to sacrifice his son. He gathered the necessary materials to build this altar. I don't know if it was the same altar, whether it was broken down, but clearly the Word of God says that he builds an altar in this place. And then he lays the wood out, just like he had every other time for all the other animals that God had commanded him to make a sacrifice unto the Lord. He doesn't bind his son because his son is trying to get away. His son was able to get away if he wanted to. But because the scripture had laid it out and being honest in the way God wanted his, listen, it was a great picture of the Lord Jesus. Listen, Jesus went bound to the temple. Every sacrifice was bound when it was sacrificed. Listen, and to make sure that he did it right. Listen, I beg you, Christian, listen, when God lays out things in order, this book lays out separation and the way we ought to live. There's just little things in this book. Boy, I want to do it just how God wants me to do it. Amen. I want to do it just the way God lays it out. If he says bind, listen, Isaac didn't have to be bound, but he bound him because that's what he was supposed to do. And then he raised up the knife. I believe with enough resolve to plunge it into his son. so much resolve that the angel had to call out twice to him. Not because he didn't hear the first time, but because he had clear direction from God to take his son's life. And it had to be, listen, this angel was not just some angel. This was the Lord Jesus Christ. This scripture, this is a theophany. This is not some angel trying to change what God had already told him. It was God, the Lord Jesus Christ, calling out from heaven saying, "Hold up, Abraham. I know you love me now. I know you love me." Listen, this morning, Abraham was willing to build. He was willing to sacrifice. Turn with me quickly to Hebrews chapter 11. Let me show you what the writer of Hebrews has to say under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost about Abraham in this instance in the scripture. He was ready and waiting. He was ready and working. He was ready and willing to build, to sacrifice, to trust God. Abraham, in this, listen, in Hebrews chapter 11, Abraham, there has so much to say about Abraham, the friend of God. But in verse 17, it says, "By faith, Abraham, when he was tried," not tempted here, it talks about, defines the word tried. Isn't it a blessing to go scripture to scripture and really understand what the Bible says? Amen. It says, "When he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he had received," listen, "and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called." Look at the word here in verse 19, "accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure." That word accounting means this: the act of reckoning, or, I love this, adjusting accounts. You see, he accounted God, he trusted God was able to raise him up. Do you know when you get saved, what you did? You accounted God able to rectify your accounts. You accounted God, that God, what God said in his word, that Jesus was going to die on the cross, pay your sin debt, and take you to heaven, wipe your sins away, just like you had never sinned, justify you as a sinner. You accounted God able to do that. Just like Abraham. Just like Abraham accounted him, he said, "Listen, even if I plunge this knife into my son, I believe that I serve a God that's able to raise him up again. Just like the God that gave it to me. Just like the God that gave me this son." Listen to me this morning. I beg you this. Listen to me. If you are here and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you've never come to a place where you've put your trust and your whole self into him for heaven, for heaven to be your home, to save you from your sins, the Bible says clearly that, listen, that the soul that sinneth, it will die. Listen to me now. The Bible says clearly that anyone that has not accepted Jesus Christ will spend an eternity in a place called hell. I beg you this morning, through the preaching of God's Word, from what God's Word said, would you account God able to raise you up in the last day? Would you count God able to save you from your sins, to give you a home in heaven, to give you the gift of everlasting life? I beg you this morning, if you've never trusted God, today would you trust in him? Would you account him able to do everything that he said? Amen. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning, the pianist is going to come. Brother Cruz is going to begin to sing. Would you stand with us this morning? I'm going to ask you to do something for me. If you're